Well, well, welcome back to another episode of the TACcast. I am Fenrir765. People like to call me Finn, and I like to talk video games with a man that is adequate, Mr. Optimus Fett. How are you, sir?
You know, Fen, I am wonderful. I've been celebrating the 10th anniversary of Borderlands 2, and I can't wait to go see the Borderlands movie and just rip it a new asshole when it comes out. So, yes, I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for asking.
Well, I mean, I was kind of hoping you'd pick up on my adequate comment, because you're well more than adequate, sir. You're an amazing individual, and I'm glad to talk video games with you on the first and third Tuesday of every single month. It is fantastic.
That's right, people. First and third Tuesday.
Yep. Get a calendar, count them, circle it, and come join us and listen to us in our Discord server, which you can find at what website, Mr. Hop?
TheAdultGamer.com.
Yes. Come and join us. We'd love to have you chat along and discuss things as we go through it. So, yeah. Sir, I'm just going to jump into that whole, you know, adequate debate from Mr. Jim Ryan, CEO of Sony or PlayStation.
Oh my God!
You know that was a big thing that just like came out of left field. You know, I didn't want to put this out here, but Phil Spencer did, and it wasn't adequate. I mean, Microsoft is spending $70 billion, and they're still like, hey, we don't mind letting you guys hold on to the games for a few more years, at least after the current deal you have is over. So, I mean, I think it's pretty adequate. Don't you? I mean, that's what I tell myself, you know, when I look in the mirror.
Right. I feel like Sony knows that even though they're still going to offer this multi-platform, this is still a huge win for Microsoft as far as their offerings on Game Pass, and they're scared. That's all it is. They're just like, I mean, honestly, if Sony would have done it, they would have done it, and they would have said effective immediately, all these games are exclusive to PlayStation without even dropping. They would have did a mic drop on that shit. So it's just hilarious to see them like being like,
or they would have put,
if,
like,
if the tables were turned, they would totally have taken it completely away and made it PC and PlayStation exclusive.
Or they would have put like timed exclusive on it, right? And then it will never come out.
We'll never really know, but they're the kind of jerks that I feel like they would have made it a pure exclusive.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's just the whole debate thing is kind of wild, and you know, whatever Microsoft ends up doing with Bethesda, Activision Games and King, obviously, you know, I feel like they'll have the right to do it. And at the same time, I don't think that they're going to be just completely, I don't know. I think they've shown good faith, if you will. I mean, they kept the Deathloop game. They've kept the Ghostwire Tokyo deal in place.
Minecraft, they bought Mojang, and Minecraft is like on every platform known to man.
And I mean, there was a brief period of time
with fucking crossplay everywhere.
And that was, you know, for a while, though, they had crossplay with everywhere but PlayStation, because...
And whose fault was that?
Yeah, it was Sony themselves.
PlayStation. Yep. Sony, yeah.
But I think Microsoft has a good faith thing, and, you know, yes, they've agreed to 3 years, and maybe there's room for more deals to be done, and you know, to keep Call of Duty there, or maybe, you know, they may not ever take it away, at least Call of Duty itself away.
I don't think they will. I think what they'll probably do, though, is that the Xbox and PC platforms are going to get the early access to the betas, the extra additional cosmetic content and stuff like that. That's what they're going to get. Game Pass subscribers may get an extra, oh, if you're on Game Pass, get these extra, you know, character packs or skins or weapon packs or whatever, cosmetic stuff. Who cares? But it'll be, you know, it'll be an incentive for those gamers that are on the Microsoft platforms. So,
and that is very true. So, I mean, enough of that. We'll, I'm sure, discuss some Call of Duty a little bit more as we get going here.
That's it. Notes.
But yeah, like, there's just, I mean, it's just a wild, wild time. So, you know, speaking of Call of Duty, I've noticed, sir, you've been dabbling with some Warzone and Modern Warfare lately. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I was playing Warzone with a couple events lately, though. I've been going back and I've been playing with a tagger named Ozzy, who's one of Willow and Fallen's friends from the Great White North. And he's been playing a lot of Modern Warfare PvP, so I've been playing that with him. And Gluteus has been on board. There's been Maynard's been on board. We've just been having a good old time. I'm also working my way through the Modern Warfare 2019 campaign again, because I only played through it once, like way back when I first got the game. So I wanted to play through it again before I play through the new campaign. And I gotta say, it holds up really well. It's really good. Still really, actually looks even better on the Series X, even though it ran, you know, whatever subsampled 4K resolution on the One X. But on the Series X, I think it's running a full 4K, and it runs 120 on the Series X. So that's even nicer. So that's been cool. I've been playing a little bit of Borderlands 3, and then it's the 10th anniversary of Borderlands 2, and they put out some shift codes for some crazy guns. So fired that up with Kick last night, and that was like nuts. We were like, holy cow, because we went right to Digistruct Peak and got our butts handed to us a little bit, but we're gonna make a couple more runs at it. Fight night last week, we had a really good time playing Super Street Fighter 4. We were having a little too much fun. Sith, if you're in the Fight Club channel, Sith made a hilarious video about the Utila kilts that was stemmed from a joke in the one of the backgrounds of that game. What have you been playing, Finn?
I'm still in my Rumbleverse phase. Me and Warlock will get our little tag team running out there, and I got my my One Piece, my mask, my luchador mask on, and just running around smacking fools in the chest. And we managed to snag a duo win last night, last match of the evening. We had several, like, getting knocked out pretty early matches, and I was just like, let's just do one more, and we did it and came down with a victory, and it was glorious.
And then after that you're like, okay, that's a good
yep. We both logged off and went to bed. I've been playing some Immortals Phoenix Rising, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's definitely...
Yeah, I want to check that out.
It, you know, like, I'm really enjoying the story of it, and I think I'm going to just bump it down to an easy difficulty just so I can just play through the story and have fun. I'm enjoying the challenge of it, but I'm just like, I want to get through this game faster because I just don't have the time to die in a couple places here and there, and I don't want to just get frustrated with the lack of time I can put into it, because sometimes I only have like 10 minutes to play, and that's not enough time to really play that game. So,
real quick, I forgot. I tried that Metal Hellsinger game.
Yeah.
The Rhythm Doom clone. I love the idea of it. I love the story. The music is awesome. I'm not sold on the rhythm shooter mechanic. It was frustrating for me, even as somebody that played music, because like, okay, when I'm shooting guys, I don't want to shoot them in 4/4 timing. It just something just didn't click. So
is it 4/4 timing for sure, or is it just
much the whole game's in 4/4 timing? Well, which is good. If it used other time signatures, it would have been really, really, really crazy.
I think just, Warlock and Bromano talked about that, and they said something like you couldn't quite, like, you don't have to be on the beat per se with
you don't, but you die a lot if you're not, like, you don't do as much damage and you get overwhelmed real quick. So I love the idea of it. Maybe I'll go back and check it out again.
All right.
But yeah. Anyway, that was my Game Pass. Like, I was like, "Ooh, I'm gonna try this because it's on Game Pass," kind of a thing last week.
Well, it's on Game Pass and I'm gonna try it is You Suck at Parking
Yeah,
and
so what's this about? Like, I saw that and I was like, I don't even, is this like Power Wash Simulator? Is this
no.
something that's silly?
It's kind of one of those like car racing, not racing, but like a mechanic car. There's a timer, you have gas in the car, so you have so much time to park your car into several spots. You can't reverse, so once you stop, like that run is done in a way. And there's just like obstacle courses of these tracks that you have to do jumps, you have to do turns, there's walls that are heated, so you can't run into them because your car blows up. So it's just kind of a goofy isometric, God, I don't want to say like platformer, but just kind of like a puzzle racing type thing that there is a multiplayer component to. And I think it'd just be fun for, like an hour or two to get a group of taggers together and just bump into each other and try and knock each other out of parking spots. And I don't know, it's mindless, really what it is. It's good to just kind of turn your brain off for like 30 seconds to play that game and then go on to something else if you'd like. And then the game I was playing right before we got together, you and I, is Deathloop, finally released on Xbox with its exclusivity deal with PlayStation ending. And it is that first person roguelite from Arcane. And I made it through the prologue and got to like kind of the first objective. So I'm not very far at all, but I'm kind of excited by it already. It has some of those Dishonored feel and vibes, but I'm really enjoying the antagonist and the protagonist so far in the game. They have a really good, fun back and forth with each other. So, and I'm sure since it's a roguelite, will be more revealed as I progress through it. So I'm really excited to play this game, and I can't wait to see how the multiplayer component works out, where you can have a friend come into your game as the antagonist who can either decide they're going to help you progress further in the game, or they can try to ruin your run and kill you. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when I get some of these people together to either help me or ruin my day. Well, Hop, we said earlier in the show we record on the first and third Tuesday of the month, but we'd like to have you come join the show. One of you awesome listeners,
Oh,
we'd love to have you come talk some games with us, talk about what you're playing, talk about the news, talk about something just kind of wild and crazy in the game world. And we'd love to have your opinions shared across the web with us. So reach out to me, reach out to Hop. Let us know if you want to come join us. If Tuesdays don't work for you, we can work something out, I'm sure. But again, the first and third week of every month we are recording. And next month we're going to have hopefully a really awesome guest who's already been on the show. We had a lot of fun with him, and I can't wait to nail down those details. But now it's time for the news. First up, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there was a nice little anime that recently dropped on Netflix called Cyberpunk Edgerunners. And apparently it's gotten some really good reviews. And also recently, a new patch, 1.6 patch, came out for Cyberpunk 2077. And the anime Edgerunners is a anime that is based off of this world and this game, and has some characters involved with it. I have not played all of Cyberpunk 2077, and I have not watched this anime, so I can't say much. But the big news with it is that Cyberpunk 2077 has seen a resurgence in players. They're back up to over 80,000 concurrent players.
Ever since that 1.5 patch, I mean, the game is really solid now. Like, I went back and finished it, and I loved it. I'll get around to the anime sometime. I'm in the midst of working through Cobra Kai, and it's got its hooks in me right now. And then I'm also watching Yellowstone and Ted Lasso and some other shows with the wife. So I'll get around to the Cyberpunk show. It looks cool. I'm trying to avoid the spoilers, but If you haven't played Cyberpunk 2077 yet and you're on the fence, you're looking for a good cyberpunk style Blade Runner first person action adventure with Keanu Reeves banging out a great performance, and you've got a PS5 Series X or a nice PC, definitely play it. If you're still on a Xbox One or a PlayStation 4, you might want to wait till you get a next gen console. It also got a 60 frame patch on Series S recently too, so
yeah,
it's definitely a cool game.
It is on my list to go back to and play. I don't know.
It works so much better after that patch. Like it was like a whole new game in Series X. I was like, oh my gosh, and it looked way better too.
I don't know. To me, it wasn't really as much the issue when it first came out. Like, yeah, there was some things that happened, but like, I don't know. Something just fell flat with me as I was playing it, and it could have very well just been a me thing. Like maybe my mood just wasn't there for that game.
Yeah. They fixed a lot. There's a ton of quality of life improvements in that patch too. Like lots. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Well, I definitely plan on getting to it again. So next up, when I see these stories, like I have to check them out because mainly it comes from a place of jealousy in a lot of ways, because what these people are doing in Minecraft is just mind blowing. They are making
a lot of time spent in those things.
Yeah, but they make the most amazing things.
There are some weekends where my kids go on binges and they create these entire crazy worlds in Minecraft together. Yeah. Like one will be on the iPad and the other one's on the Switch. And then sometimes they'll invite me on the Xbox and I'll just make some little crappy building in their world.
Yeah.
But it's insane.
So there is a Minecraft builder who goes by the name of Potomi on Reddit. And it was first reported with PC Gamer that he has in essence built some of the key locations from Yharnam from Bloodborne, and with like almost incredible detail. I mean, outside of it looking like something from Minecraft with the blocks, it looks like it's legit from the game itself. And the level of detail, the size, the scope, it's just kind of amazing. There were some side-by-side photos, and I mean, it is well done. And the fact that people can do this in a game that, you know, was so basic in its early beginnings that has now gotten to this point where they can do whatever. Plus, like, we ran a little experiment here in TAG many years ago where we had a Minecraft server. And
I heard about this legendary Minecraft server.
I would go with more infamous than legendary, because it was just covered in giant dicks.
Right. So, that's what I heard.
Yeah. So a bunch of adults were just doing their own phallic dream inside of Minecraft. And here we are. We have somebody building an actual setting from a very beloved game. So kudos to you, Minecraft. Amazing individuals who build the most awesome things. All right, so we talked about this last show, and you know, we've talked about it in the show before that, where we talked about price hikes and consoles, and Xbox has come out and, you know, dug their heels in a little further. And what are they saying, Hop, with this?
Saying they're not changing their prices. They're going to keep them the current prices that they are, with no plans to raise price on their hardware. They can't really afford to, at least in the West for sure, because, you know, Sony is the market leader here. But also, I mean, as much as there's inflation and everything going on, that's kind of a dick move to release a product at an MSRP, you know, at one price and then jack it up a couple years later. You know, usually the prices come slightly down as the manufacturing gets cheaper and cheaper. So I do understand that there's been some issues with supply lines and semiconductor building and all this, thanks to the wonderful COVID-19 pandemic that ravaged our world. But yeah, I'm glad that Nintendo said the same thing. They're not changing either, so that's good. What about PSVR games not working on PSVR 2 on the PlayStation platforms? I thought that was thought that kind of sucks for those people that supported the first one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, some PlayStation is kind of weird in this whole backwards compatibility thing. I mean, remember when they announced all the PS5, the Xbox Series X, where Microsoft was like, yeah, we're leaning full into backwards compatibility, and Sony was like, no, we believe in generations. And then all of a sudden it became, well, maybe we will have some backwards compatibility. Maybe we will have games that will come out on both PS5 and the PS4 that were originally just supposed to be PS5. And then now they announced the PSVR 2 and the, what's his name? Hideaki Nishino? I totally butchered it and I apologize. But he's the senior vice president of platform experience. And with the official PlayStation podcast, he talks about how the PSVR 2 is truly a next generation experience, and that everything from PSVR 1 will not be able to be playable on the VR 2 because of things like haptic feedback, adaptive triggers that can be found in the Sense controllers. So it just seems very much that they are really going into the next generation of that VR. VR is still not for me, and I have no intent on playing VR anytime soon. So, hop, I mean,
me neither. I mean, it's cool. It's neat that they have that option, but yeah, I'm also not interested in VR myself.
Yeah, it's just kind of a bummer that the people who have early adopted in it are not going to be able to bring what they already have over to it. They did make an adapter, I guess, for the PSVR 1 for the PlayStation 5. So I guess you could have both devices and just have to remember which one's which when you, I guess, start it up and you want to play which game, whichever game it is. So it just sucks. Just sucks when you see stuff like that that comes out for people. All right. We also got, now hop, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited of this list were you? But we got the Street Fighter 6 launch roster of 18 characters.
Well, like, whatever characters I'm excited. I'm just excited that we're finally getting Street Fighter 6. I'm excited, B, that it's going to be on all platforms. The gameplay they've shown so far is just amazing as far as the fighting, the animations on the fighters, the way they like take hits and move, and the way their muscles flex, and like obviously they've been studying a lot of real, right? They've been studying a lot of real martial arts. Like when I saw some of the grappling moves that like Guile did and stuff, I was like, oh my, so fucking, I'm so excited to play that game. Yeah, everybody in Fight Club is really excited to play. That's also why we played some Super SF4 last weekend, because we're all kind of getting really excited for Street Fighter 6. But the roster looks solid. So the 18 revealed fighters, and I'm sure there's going to be a bunch more added as season DLC or whatever. We got Ryu, Ken, Zangief, Dhalsim, E Honda, Blanca, Guile, Chun-Li, Cammy, all from SF2, Juri from SF4, Luke, new character, DJ from Street Fighter 2, Kimberly, I believe she's new, Jamie, new, Manon, new, Marissa, new, Lily, new, and JP, new. So we're getting quite a few new characters, and then a bunch of the classic roster. Nobody from, none of the surprises from SF3 yet, and but I'm sure there'll be some more.
Yes.
Were you going to say something?
I was going to say, Sith talks about that there should be crossplay with this one, and as hopefully. Well as, yeah. And then, was there anybody that was like omitted from this list that you were kind of hoping to see in the initial launch lineup?
That's, I mean, from SF3, I'd have loved to have seen Alex, underrated character. I've been getting into playing Abel a lot on SF4, so I'd like to see him too. But I also like when they make new characters. It, you know, it's nice to have a couple old ones you can rely on and kind of get learn the new system, because the whole gameplay system is tweaked a little bit, and then that helps, and then you can bridge the gap with the new characters. So I think it's going to be really cool.
awesome.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
I'm excited too. I don't know if I'll get it anytime soon, but I'm excited. I've always enjoyed the Street Fighter series, and I know that it will definitely take over our Friday night fight clubs. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Zelda Breath of the Wild sequel finally got its name right before Tokyo Game Show with a Nintendo Direct, and that is called The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. And it comes out, barring no delays, again, because that is a possibility, it will be out May 12th, 2023. I love that this game keeps going and going and they keep iterating on it. And I'm excited for those that loved Breath of the Wild to get a sequel to it, because it was very much a beloved game. All right. Hop, I know this game brought back probably a ton of nostalgia, and then you're probably hit with a massive wave of confusion. And that's the Nintendo 64 GoldenEye 007 remake, or...
Yeah. This is a strange
thing. I don't understand. And I'm sure
this has to do with some of the licensing. Yeah. So we're getting a couple versions. The Xbox is basically getting the N64 version, but kind of like upscanned, and it's going to be included on Rare Replay. So if you bought that, it's going to be added to that. If not, it's going to be on Game Pass, but it's not going to have online play. It will have improved controller support, like dual analog, and some improved graphics and frame rate. But the Nintendo Switch version, this is the part that's weird. The Nintendo Switch version gets online play
with the standard N64 game.
So you have the, and this is not a knock on Nintendo. I love the Nintendo. It's a great platform. My kids love it, but it is not the online platform of choice.
No. Like,
so the fact that they didn't put online on the Xbox One, I was just like, what? Okay.
It just cracks me up. You get pretty much a N64 re-release on the Switch library. There's not a lot of things happening with the N64 Switch version, right? It's pretty much the base game that came out on the Nintendo 64 however many years ago. And then the Xbox gets all the upgrades, the updates, but they don't get the online play. It's still the split screen co-op,
right?
And or
yeah,
online. It's the most dumbfounding story. I will say I will probably load it up and maybe try it out, play through a little bit of it.
Right, for nostalgia's sake, it'll be fun to start on the dam and snipe all guys with the gun and then get to the inside. Yeah, right. Yeah, I had the same thought through my head.
I don't know if I'll play the whole thing, but it's just a bummer that there's no online play just to be able to have laughs.
Sith mentioned it's too bad we didn't get the 360 XBLA like remastered one
that was
Perfect Dark that had online play and everything. Yeah, I don't know that. That whole thing's a cluster F. Let's move on to the next story before I go Hulk.
I don't know if this next story is going to make it any better, but Bonnie Ross is leaving 343 Studios. She was the head of studio in charge of everything, including franchise, movies, TV shows, game. She was like the head of it all. She cited a personal family medical emergency in her goodbye letter. She was hoping to make it to the winter update that is supposed to come out here in November 8th. And, just a quick recap. There's a nice little write-up on IGN about her and many other websites. But she's been with Microsoft for nearly 30 years. 15 of those years has been with 343, leading the Halo franchise. And, it's kind of a mixed bag of what we've gotten from Halo since 343 has taken over. And we don't necessarily need to go into that. But there was an interesting quote I heard, or heard, I don't remember where I heard it. It was on a different podcast somewhere, but somebody essentially said that Microsoft is, when Bungie was leaving Microsoft, Microsoft said, no, we're keeping Halo. And then they were originally going to shop it out to like external studios to work on it. And so Bonnie Ross was like, no, like this is our thing. We need to make our own studio for it. So in a lot of ways, you know, it could have been a what if, you know, of what happened to Halo. If it would have gone to third party studios, maybe it would have carried on, and or maybe it would have died a lot faster or died in itself. So, you know, what a lot of I've seen a lot of people claim like, oh, the family emergency was just corporate speak of her being fired or whatever. And whatever it is, I don't want to get into that. I just hope that things go well for her and she can, they can resolve whatever thing is going on in her family and Godspeed to her on that. And I hope that she still has some good things left in her in the gaming world to bring to people. So it kind of, it'll be interesting to see what happens with her departure though. The, Pierre Hintz is taking over and he's been one of the guys that has been credited. He's taken over studio head and his primary focus will be on the games. There are other people that will be in charge of some of the other more franchising type things, but, and business. So I guess Brian Koski will be the general manager of franchise and Elizabeth Van Wyk, will be in charge of business and operations. But Pierre Hintz has been credited for the guy that kind of really took over the Master Chief Collection after it initially released, and he kind of solved it and fixed it and got it to where it is today. That, I don't, Hop, I would think you would agree with this statement, it is in a really good place. It's something that is an enjoyable product to play, especially compared to the way it was when it came out, which was not playable. So,
no, yeah, I just wish that it wouldn't take them 2 to 3 years to make their Halo games fun and playable with cool playlists.
Mm-hmm.
So it really sours players when the game comes out and it's a hot mess.
Very true. But hopefully Pierre Hintz can write this ship as he did with Master Chief Collection, and maybe, you know, going forward there will be less likelihood of this happening. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I do think Halo is not done. I think there's still more to come. And, you know, maybe they might need to take a break and figure some things out. But hopefully we get our classic beloved franchise back in a lot of positive ways. Now, Assassin's Creed. Were you much of an Assassin's Creed fan, Hop?
I'm like a casual Assassin's Creed fan and played the first two, and then I didn't touch any until I played through Origins 2020, and I really, really loved that game, but I also really, really loved Egyptian history and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But these newer games, as cool as they are, the big open world, it's almost intimidating. Like, I'm like, oh, so. Like, I started Odyssey and I was like, oh fuck, this is huge. Yeah, I may get back to it later, and I have access to Valhalla too. I've heard that game takes forever in a day. So, you know, I am excited. I saw the next one is Mirage, which takes place in Baghdad. That one doesn't excite me very much. I feel like between Origins and Odyssey, we've seen kind of that part of the world a little bit. But if they're doing feudal Japan with Assassin's Creed Red, that one I might have to get into, because that I could see having a lot of fun with that. So the mobile games, I don't give two shits about. But it's neat for those people that play mobile games.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, they had a lot of Assassin's Creed announcements, and Mirage is the one that takes place in Baghdad, and it looks really good. And Mirage actually is the one that's kind of going back to the roots of like Assassin's Creed 1 and 2 and 3, with its more stealth and, you know, planning and plotting your assassinations, rather than the kind of brute force, fight your way through things, the more action adventure of Odyssey, Valhalla, and Origins. So they're kind of.
I feel like Origins was like, I mean, Origins, you could go either way. It was way tougher if you tried to fight everybody. You would die a lot doing that. You still had to be, I mean, I did mostly sneaking and I killed guys when I had to, and sometimes you'd kill a guy and set off a whole bunch of guards and you had to run away.
Yeah.
So
But I mean, there was a
I
lot of
know that
that.
the gameplay was stricter in the first two games,
Yeah.
as in like you had to be stealthy. So I appreciate when a game has options, and I do not do well with constant stealth. It kind of drives me nuts. So I like the more options
Yeah.
that the other games had. But I could see how you'd think you could go nuts on you, but you'll die a lot doing that.
Oh yeah. I mean, I remember, a certain point in time though in Origins where I got maybe I was just overleveled and I had a really strong weapon set so I could kind of walk into some of the areas and just go, "All right, let's fight and dominate." So, but yeah, there's always still the element of stealth from any Assassin's Creed game, and I agree with you. But it seems like they're going back to the more shorter story with Mirage. It's not going to be the massive every. There's like all these things to do, like Valhalla and Odyssey definitely had. So at least that's kind of what's being reported. Then there's this Assassin's Creed Infinity, which will be kind of the hub of Assassin's Creed going forward, and that's where you'll see what they call Assassin's Creed Red right now, which is the feudal Japan one, as well as Assassin's Creed Hex, which this one has me really interested. The logo, it's all we've seen is a logo where it has like the Assassin's like triangular logo, but it's made out of the twigs and sticks, like a witchcraft talisman. And so, people are speculating that this might take place during some of the witch trials of the 1600s. And if that's the case, like I'm kind of really intrigued by this setting and maybe what they might do with this game, because it can get pretty interesting what they do with it. They also talked about how there will be some, they mentioned how some of the modern storytelling will be pretty much abandoned at this point in these games. But they will be done in a separate kind of game setting or inside this Infinity thing. So until we kind of see more details, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I love the Assassin's Creed games. I've enjoyed them. I would love to play Odyssey and Valhalla, but like I said with Immortals, like I just want to
Just
commit
so
my
many games, so
yeah.
little time.
I want to commit my time to something that I know I can beat probably relatively within a few days, not a few days, like in a month or so. Like I don't want to be playing a game for 10 months.
Yeah, Origins took me, and I sank some serious time. I didn't even do all the side quests in Origins. I mean, it was over a month of gameplay, and I was playing it pretty much daily.
Yeah, so all right. Well, that's pretty much it for the news, sir. I mean, you have
Well,
one more thing. Yeah, sorry.
there,
Yeah.
I'm gonna pull Steve Jobs. Oh, and one more thing. We had the Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Warzone reveal at Call of Duty Next, and they showed off the multiplayer for Modern Warfare 2. They showed the new gunsmith system. Factions are back. It's an Infinity Ward style Call of Duty, so the realism, like Modern Warfare 2019, is kind of back. It's got the doors. The one thing I heard from a lot of the streamers that played it, like Exclusive Ace, is the map design is much better. It's much closer to traditional three lane or Treyarch style maps than the confusing Winchester House mansion maps that were in Modern Warfare 2019. So that part's good. And as cool as that was, the Warzone 2 reveal, I was really surprised by. The current version of Warzone is a battle royale, but it's a lot more of like an arcade style battle royale. Everybody rushes to get the loadouts. Looting isn't really emphasized that much. You can easily buy back people. Warzone 2 looks way more like Blackout from Black Ops 4. There are no loadouts. There are no perks. It's all ground loot. You can save, or you can make and save weapon classes that you can buy out of buy stations on the map, but they're very expensive. So they're really pushing more of a traditional battle royale kind of game. And the one cool new thing that differentiates it from Blackout or even something like PUBG or Fortnite is when the circle starts shrinking, it goes from a giant circle to three circles. And then those three circles move around and shrink. And then eventually they merge into one circle.
What? That's wild.
Yeah, that looks pretty awesome. So I'm excited. That was officially announced for November 16th. I don't think they're doing a beta for Warzone 2. The Modern Warfare 2 open beta was last weekend on PlayStation. And then it starts again this Thursday for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC pre-orders. And then a full open beta this weekend, September, what is today? 20th. So September 24th and 25th, Xbox and PC players should be able to install and try it out for free, the Modern Warfare 2 beta, to see if it's something you're interested in. Ben, what's going on in our tag community? Anything new?
Well, you know, we're kind of figuring out our game night rotation with things, but I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out there for us to maybe, if I can get a couple people, I would like to try some You Suck at Parking this Thursday. It'd be fun to really ram our cars into each other and try to get a little parking spot that, on, you know.
Is that code for something?
You know, I enjoy a good car ramming. It just, I don't know. Just helps the medicine go down. I don't know. But yeah, we Thursday nights we try to get a game going. You know, sometimes we just pick a random game and see what happens and see people show up and then have some fun. And it'll be a good time.
You know, maybe we play a little game, you know?
Maybe.
Hang out, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. Friday night's Fight Club. Come join us in the fighting game sub-channel at Tag. You can join the role at Fight Club if you want to be pinged. We usually start Friday nights. I don't get on till about 10 p.m. Eastern currently, but I know sometimes Warlock or Sith will get on earlier, so check the fighting game channel. Add yourself to Fight Club role. Last weekend we did Super SF4, but we've been playing a lot of King of Fighters 15, the Capcom Fighting Collection, Mortal Kombat 11 is always a favorite, and Injustice 2 is also quite popular. So if you got a fighting game you love, jump on in, and we're all excited because also they announced Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear coming to Game Pass next year. So that's more good fighting games coming to Xbox. Thank you to whoever is working for Microsoft and is courting the Japanese developers, because we're finally getting some of those games.
All right. Yeah, well, as if you've been following along in our Discord server, Tony has been, I don't know, raging about talking about the GTA leaks, and it's time for us to go on a deep dive here about leaks. And
I like to take a leak.
I mean, they can be refreshing and help you remember why you exist, right? The, you know, leaks have been, I don't know, they've been a nuisance and the world for all mediums, right? You know, they've been difficulty with movies, music, TV, as well as video games. And I think video games have been more secretive in the years. But because you don't want to have, I feel like it's just a, I just feel like leaks are just bad for the video game industry. And recently, a hacker was able to hack into Rockstar and find access to a lot of videos of early footage gameplay, as well as supposedly chunks of the source code. and take it with them. And then they released the videos and they were trying to auction off the source code. And I guess somebody paid like $100,000 for the source code. So it's just like, one, that sucks that all that hard work that all these people put into this is just, you know, being, you know, threatened in a lot of ways. And two, you know, the internet went almost into a wild fever pitch with these leaks. I saw a lot of people talk about how this GTA 6 videos that they were watching, and I haven't seen a single one of them. And I've been doing I've been doing my damnedest to avoid all of the information that's coming out because I don't want to know. I don't want it to be ruined for me before, like, in the 6 years before this game's ever going to come out, right? But the point that I was trying to make is all these people are complaining about how bad this game looks comparative to GTA 5. And it's like, do you not have a single ounce of common sense with this to think like this is early game footage and this game is probably not even going to come out for another 4 to 5 years? And you don't think Rockstar is going to figure it out and make it look the way they want it to look whenever they finally do release this game? So, Tony says 2024. Right. I highly doubt really there's any confirmation on that.
That's the last kind of piece of the puzzle is fine-tuning the graphics because the graphics technology changes so much. They a lot of times it's the design, it's the engine, it's the interaction, like the gameplay. And then later, because they have the art assets, the artists create the assets to be scalable. So they don't even, I mean, there's no point in trying to build the game with the latest graphics technology. And if it's not coming out for 2 more years, that's 2 more years of time they're going to spend developing the game. So graphics, they don't even care. As long as it's playable to test, that's what they're looking for. The graphics testing is way later.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, like, Hop, have you heard any did you see any confirmation that 2024 is supposedly the release date, or is this just Tony speculating?
Like I said, I'm not even following anything. I'm going to be honest. All right, ready? I don't care. I'm not a Grand Theft Auto fan. If you are, that's awesome.
Okay.
I'm glad you're excited. I'm not into the series. I've tried. Out of all the Rockstar games, the only game I've beaten is Red Dead Redemption 1. Red Dead Redemption 2 is sitting on the back burner. I'm hoping to get a 60-frame patch for that game at some point. I'd like to finish it. It's great if you're a fan of Grand Theft Auto, power to you. I just couldn't really get into that series. The only one I kind of enjoyed, but I didn't finish it, was Vice City. But I liked the setting. I'm just not really into those games. Yeah. I'm just not really into big open-world games all that much.
Yeah, and I will say that, you know, I completely understand your point. Like, oftentimes with a leak, you're kind of like, it's easy to avoid it. I've enjoyed Grand Theft Auto since 3. I've enjoyed 3, 4, 5, San Andreas. I've had a lot of fun with them. And I may dabble with 6 if it comes out. It just depends on where I'm at my life, right? If I'm still in this kind of like, I don't want a massive game, then I may not actually play it. But for those of you that do love it, that's awesome. It may just not be for me at that point. And no means am I saying it's a bad thing, Tony, or anybody else who loves GTA. I'm just saying it may not be a four-fin game at that time in my life. So, but anyways, back to the leak conversation. Yeah, so it just really sucks that people are just shitting all over this game. For what reason? When it's still ages away. And until it is out, it is not coming out. Wow, that's the most like on the nose statement I could say. But my point is, like, until it's here, you know, we don't know anything of what it's going to be. And it is kind of wild because Rockstar has been really good at maintaining all their information on their games. I mean, with Grand Theft Auto 5 and Red Dead 2, I mean, you didn't see anything from these games until they wanted you to see it. And oftentimes it was like, here's a screenshot. We're still 6 months out from release, but here's only one screenshot you get to look at. There's nothing else we're going to give you. And so it's kind of wild that this happened to them. Well, also, shifting gears a little bit, Hop, you know, a game that I know you and I are both really excited about, Diablo 4, also had a leak recently. Some Reddit user noticed something in a anonymous file sharing website that have a 5-minute video clip and a 38-minute video clip of Diablo 4. And there's not a lot of information, but it was obvious that it's unfinished because there's a lot of untextured world environments as well as different things happening that just didn't obviously look polished and ready to go. So we know that Diablo 4 is coming out sometime in the first 6 months of 2023, because it was in the Microsoft Game Showcase at E3, or Summer Game Fest, rather. So it's wild to see all this happening. And I just think it sucks because, again, it just kind of puts a light on to maybe some of the things that the devs obviously do not want to be shared. And then it also ruins some of the details. Like, there's so many details out there now about GTA that I don't want to know about. And I want to avoid all those spoilers. And I don't want even the slightest information. I want to go into these games that I already know I want to play and just avoid that spoiler. And I think leaks are just evil people who go out there and want to screw with us. I mean, I remember people leaking some of the scripts to Halo Infinite. I remember, was it God of War had the same issue, and people like God of War 2018, and people were just running around the internet, just posting all sorts of, information about the story. Like, it just sucks that what.
Yeah, that part's lame. I get it. Like, I don't know if I'd call them the people that get the leaks or hack the leaks. I don't know if I'd necessarily call them evil. I think maybe they're just so goddamn curious. Like, they know that there's information there, and there's good reason the devs don't want to show it yet, because they're still working on it. They don't want to show you a product that's not done, because they don't want you to judge it on the status, like we talked about earlier, like in its prototype stage, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you were to see a lot of automobiles, like their prototype stage compared to the final stage, quite different cars. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, that kind of sucks. And but at the same time, it sucks, like you said, when what happens when they get the leaks out there is that these people will go and spread it everywhere, and some of them are kind of just jerks. They want to tell the whole world without, like, the whole world really wanting to know.
Yeah. So, I mean, kinda sucks. And people will get, like, creative on how they can get that information so that people are, like, unknowingly being told what they're, like, I mean, it's just like the layers that people go through to, you know, trick people into coming across this information. It's just like, I mean, there are a lot of just shady characters out there that only want to watch the world burn, right? And that just, and having that kind of power with leaks just really sucks. You know, I don't know. It's just wild. Speaking of leaks, though, and this one is more of kind of a comical turn of events, but I don't know how long ago this account was created, but on Twitter, there was an account called The Real Insider, and this Real Insider started dropping all these details about things. Several of the things that they kind of leaked out was like the song list for Metal Hellsinger. They were the first person to drop all the names for the new Assassin's Creed stuff. They talked about Mirage. They talked about Red being in feudal Japan. They talked about Hex. They talked about Jade being a mobile game with Assassin's Creed. And so, and those are just some of the big things that they recently were dropping on there. And all these people were like, this dude's full of shit or whatever. And somebody even tagged, I guess, Jason Schreier in the Twitter thing. And Jason Schreier was like, no, these are most definitely not true. And then he comes back like 5 minutes later. All right. I confirm with my source. These are legit. Like, this person knows what they're talking about. Well, in a turn of events, in one of the Twitter threads that the Real Insider posted, somebody asked a question, and Dan Allen Gaming, who's a popular YouTuber, he has, I don't remember how many followers or subscribers that he had at the time, but he responded back to it, and the way that he responded back to it was very much in line with the conversation, as if he was the Real Insider, and a lot of people immediately were like, wait, you're the Real Insider? And then all of a sudden the Real Insider account got deleted, as well as his tweet. And, but of course it was screenshotted, and several other, like his Twitter account went on lockdown, and it just like spiraled really quickly. And so it's come to speculation that the Dan Allen Gaming guy has been using his access and, you know, all the NDAs he signed to get all these access to all these things, like the Assassin's Creed information, like the Metal Hellsinger soundtrack, as well as gameplay. And then he would break the NDAs through this anonymous Real Insider account. And now he could be facing a lot of really big legal trouble going forward. It's just wild, and he in essence has imploded his career. And I know I feel like, if I understand correctly, he was like making money off of his YouTube channel as his career, so he could have essence just killed everything.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
what a nut.
Yeah, and I mean, he had thousands and thousands of subscribers. Like, it wasn't like just a, you know, small channel. Like, he was probably making good money doing what he was doing, and for some reason he wanted to fly closer to the sun, and we all know how that turns out. Really sucks that people can't just be happy with what they got, right? Has there ever been like a major leak that just kind of really grinded your gears in the years that you just can recall?
I'm trying to think if there was anything that really, I don't know if I can think of one that I was, a game that I was excited about that maybe got leaked too early. I'm like kind of like you. I kind of avoided them. Like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't want to know until it's ready to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I will kind of be full honest here. Like, I think this is something that kind of happened to me, maybe with some maturity and time. You know, but there was a time, though, I think, you know, my younger days, high school, maybe college, well, definitely college, because I'll tell a story in a second, but where I wanted to get my hands on things and see things like all the time. And then I think just as time went on, I realized that I was kind of burning out or getting the hype train too high, and a lot of things weren't living up to the hype that I built up in my own mind by getting access to all this information. And so I found that just enjoying, like, realizing, all right, Mass Effect 5 or 4 or whatever they want to call it, that's going to come out probably in 15 years. I'm already sold on the game. I don't need to see anything else about this game. I can wait until it finally releases and I can go play it. So that way I don't build this unfair hype up for it, right? I'm happy with that stage in my life now. But there was a time where I was like, no, I wanted to get everything right away. And I remember I dived into Halo 2 about, was it 4 nights before it released? I had a modded.
You remember you telling me this story.
Yeah, I had an original Xbox that we modded, and not for anything illegal or anything, but we modded it and found there was a copy of Halo 2 that had been released that was completely in French. There was no way to change it. It was a French version of the game, and I downloaded it, installed it on the modded Xbox, and me and a buddy played through the entire Halo 2 campaign in French. No subtitles in English, just French. So we had really no clue what was happening in the game. And I remember we were really confused as to why we were playing as the Arbiter for most of that game, because we had no context. None of us spoke French. But we played through the game, beat it in like 2 days. And then when it finally released, we were able to play through it. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, this whole game makes sense now. So, but yeah, like there was a time where I was all about the leaks, and I just think, I don't know, maybe something as I got older, life changed for me. And I just realized, my time's limited and I want to focus it on playing the game rather than trying to hunt information down about the game. So, well, sir, that's all I got on leaks. Do you have anything else you want to say? Do you just want to give the condemnation of Hop?
No, I'm just saying that, just be courteous out there, people. I'm glad that at Tag Everybody was pretty cool, and Tony was good about putting spoiler tags on the GTA stuff for those people that don't want to know. Or he got told to put spoiler tags on. I don't remember how that went down. Because not all of us want to see or want to know the leaks ahead of time. I know, as we get closer to games I'm excited about, I'm always excited when there's new official previews and I can't wait to see them.
Yes.
But I don't really want to have the whole game spoiled, especially a story game. Don't spoil multiplayer games. If it's a multiplayer only kind of game and it's gameplay features or whatever, that stuff doesn't bother me too much. But when somebody spoils the whole story of a game, that kind of sucks. Or the setting. If it's a game series where each, Grand Theft Auto, it's kind of a surprise each time they do one. It's in, a different sort of made up, inspired by suburb with a different protagonist or trio of protagonists, or who knows, maybe they're going to have, there's the current rumors it's a female antagonist that,
Which is leave that for the official everybody reveal. Off too, right? So,
yeah, that's a whole nother thing. Yeah.
So in essence, you're just saying, would you kindly not be an asshat?
Would you so kindly?
Well, Hop, thanks for joining me again for another episode of the TagCast. Any final plugs you want to make out there?
No, but if you're interested in learning about movies, games, anime that have sort of a retro future aesthetic, come check out my podcast, Retro Futures Culture, located on ruminationsradionetwork.com. You can find me on Twitter at Futurist Retro. And if you want to throw down some Warzone or Call of Duty with me here, just hit up my name here on our tag Discord, and that'll give you my Xbox Live gamer tag. What about you, Finn?
Yeah, you can find me in our Discord at theadultgamer.com. You can chat with me there. You can also let me know if you want to get some Rumbleverse on or maybe some Halo Infinite. I've even had the PUBG itch a few times these last few weeks. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But until then, I am Fenrir765. He is Optimus Fett. And we will catch you on the flippity flip.